The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this, is it the 14th of March 2020? That was at least 2022. Okay, folks, and you know, little Lisa finally, she was thrilled. She finally put up enough weight on, and she left her first footprint in the snow. And everybody was happy, and she was happy, and then Mighty Andrew sneezed. And it was all for naught. So there, we'll just leave that go and move on to better things. Way in the back of better things is Rowdy Randy. And he's on those phones. He's waiting. Boy, he's ready to go tonight. Because this is Pledge Week. This is Pledge Week. And just in case we get over-enthused and over-energetic and kind of overworked, we have Nurse Elaine Conley right here ready to resuscitate us if that was necessary. Okay? Are you ready? Say hello.
Good evening, everybody. I'm ready and rearing to go.
All right. Mighty Andrew.
Yes, Pastor.
Okay, and this is your big chance. Go ahead, little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
Don't you do that well? Okay.
Yes, she does.
Get out of here. Go in the other room. Hurry up. There you go. Now, there he goes. He's ridden the dusty back roads of Missouri with his Bible in his hand, preaching, the preaching man, none other than the Pastor Joe Larson.
I'm glad this ministry has a sense of humor. The world needs it. But your highly unpaid professional assistant is here and ready for Pledge Week.
See, now, you call it a sense of humor. Others have said we're weird.
Well, yeah, I guess it depends on which level your humor's on.
Yeah, well, maybe we're kind of like in between there. Okay,
yeah,
so.
It could be.
All right, well, now that we got all that done. Hey, this is Pledge Week. 888-281-1110 and 888-677-9673. Already, little Lisa pledged 125. Rowdy Randy pledged 135. Phyllis from Brooklyn pledges 40. Bob from New Jersey pledges 70. And Deacon, I think it must be Deacon John. He pledges 70. Or no, 100. All right, so we got off to a pretty good start already, right? So keep it coming, folks. Keep it coming. Now,
and that all happened before you gave out the numbers.
While I was giving out the numbers.
What?
So, okay.
All right.
Again, so let me give those numbers again. 888-281-1110. You know what we discovered in here, right here tonight? That Elaine Conley don't even get our newsletter. That's like not even, almost like not having a birth certificate, okay? But she's going to get it now.
Looking forward to it.
All righty. Or 888-677-9673. Folks, give us a call now.
We are totally listener-supported. We have never advertised. We don't sell things. We have a partnership with you, the listeners. We donate our time, talent, treasure to do the work, and your donations pay the bills that keep us on the air, period.
Period. We are going to get into the message tonight because we got a lot to cover. And the title of the message tonight, Joe, do you remember what it was?
Has God not spoken?
That's exactly right. And we're going to pick it up over in Isaiah chapter 54. Now, before we get into it, I'm going to kind of give you a little analysis of what we're going to be talking about here. Now, God is telling Israel here, Joe, that that he was going to forsake him. He was going to forsake her for a brief time in his anger. But if she would repent and return to him, he would restore her with the blessings of prosperity and peace. And so he goes on to say that as he has kept his promise to Noah, he would keep his promise to Israel. Now, the promise is for the millennial kingdom. As we go through here, we'll see that he's referring to the millennial kingdom. Now, for a short period, he'll talk about a present time, but then he moves ahead into the millennial kingdom when God will he be personally in that millennial kingdom. He said he's going to personally be teaching the children. Now, if they had been, and we see that, remember, if they had been obedient from the beginning, if they had just listened, if they had just kept the promise, then he would have ushered in the millennial kingdom, and they wouldn't have had to go through all that they went through. But
well, isn't it also a basic theme of the Bible that if people repent and turn, God forgives and then blesses? It's kind of a universal theme from the beginning to the end of Scripture.
Yeah, but see, here now it's a little different because once they enter into the millennial kingdom, that'll be it. They won't have
right.
to. They won't have to keep. They're not going to continue to fall back, or fall away, because God will be. The Lord Jesus will be reigning on His throne during that kingdom, and all judgment will be instantaneously. Okay, and so we will be there too, but not in the same capacity as Israel. Now, the millennial kingdom could have, again, been ushered in if they had only kept their covenant with that God had made a covenant with David there. But again, Israel did not fulfill its part of the covenant.
Right.
And what did it do? She fell back and started to worship idols again. So, Joe, go ahead and start in 54, verse 5, and read it all the way through and then stop at 17, and we'll pick it up there.
All right. Just one sec. Mike, you had to hit the cough button. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith the Lord thy God.
Stop there, Joe. Now, what's the difference between, God refers to Israel, especially He does that in the book of Hosea as his wife.
Right.
As his wife. And he gives an example as Gomer.
Gomer took a prostitute for a wife because God told him to.
Yeah, well, as a whorish wife that went a-whoring. Okay. But he uses Hosea to his example that how Hosea deals with Gomer, his whorish wife, is the way that he's going to deal with Israel, the whorish nation. And so here, but now, there's a difference between that and the church. The church is referred to as what? The bride of Christ, right?
Right, not the wife, the bride.
And so the church has already been judged, and it will not be, it has the Bema Seat judgment, but it doesn't have to go through the tribulation period. The tribulation period is what was the purpose of the tribulation period?
To bring Israel back to God.
Well, it was to purify her. That was the purification of the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
And what we see that the purification of Israel, that means that 2/3 of Israel, are going to be, they're not true Israel. They're not going to be received. during the purification, one-third is true Israel, huh?
Right. So only a remnant will be purified.
All right. So pick it up in verse 8.
In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the seas be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all the children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Okay, we have Harold from Illinois' pledges, 150. Tony in Toronto, 125. Betty from Escondido pledges 50. Jerome from New York pledges 200. And Bob from Astoria pledges 300. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Wow, what a start. Especially Canadian brothers up there and sisters who are under siege even worse than we are.
Absolutely. All right. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to have a little clip, and people need to hear. And in that, I'm going to be talking about, well, with what's happened so far, just so far this year, I want to dedicate this radio program, and I'm going to name six men who I want to dedicate this radio program to. And then when you listen to the clip, you'll really realize more about what we're talking about. Now, Joe, pick it up in verse 55, verse 1, and go ahead and read all the way through, and I'll tell you when to stop, but go ahead.
Okay. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David.
Okay, stop right there for a minute. Now, he was speaking about a specific covenant that he made with them. And if you turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 7, and in 2 Samuel chapter 7, okay, I'll read it.
All right.
Moreover, starting with verse 10, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in the place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time, and as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people, Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that I will make thee in a house. Now here, he's making a very clear point here that God had turned down David's request to build him a house to dwell in, okay? Here, God had something much, much better. You know, now David's request was good, but God said, no. Now, this doesn't mean that God rejected David. In fact, God was planning, again, like he was saying, to do something much, much greater with David's life than allowing him the prestige of building the temple.
Right. Remember
why he wasn't allowed to build the temple?
Because of his sin.
Right. So God turned down David's request, but he promised to continue the house or the dynasty of David forever. Okay.
Right. Because so, that would be the lineage of the Christ. The Redeemer King would come through the line of David.
Okay, so David's dynasty ended centuries later, but Jesus Christ is a direct descendant of David, and he is what? The ultimate fulfillment. He is the only one that is eligible for the throne of David. He's the only one. Now here,
right.
Remember, too, what he had told David. So you want to build me a house, right? And a house that could contain me. And what did he say? What does it take to contain God? The whole universe. It takes the whole universe to contain.
He is everything, so the whole universe is his. He's contained really by nothing.
So, absolutely. So all they had to do is keep that covenant, and they could have gone right into the millennial kingdom, but they refused. Now, John in Minnesota pledges $50. Thank you, John. All right, folks, the numbers are 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Keep them coming. We need to get off to a good start, don't we?
Yes, we
sure do. We need to keep it going. Or
888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Now, here come little Lisa, and she's fluttering about. All right, let me see what we got so far. Okay, now.
You're going to wear her out running back and forth from the phones to keep you updated.
We need about 4,700. We need about 4,700, yep. So for the rest, we got to raise another 4,700 for the rest of the night. But we got off to a good start. Amen, okay. So Lisa gets a new pair of shoes, 4,700, all right. There you go. All righty, so let's pick it up where we left off in verse 4 of 55.
All right, can I throw something in on that verse where it talks about the sure mercies of David back in chapter 13 in Acts where it talks about, thou art my son, have I begotten thee? And then it said, and concerning he that raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. And that New Testament and the Old Testament, so many people still, we don't need to read the Old Testament. There's nothing there. Well, we forget that's what Jesus preached from and referred to all the time, right?
Oh, absolutely. Now, let me ask you this question because people often will ask, now, wait a minute, Pastor. You said that Jesus says that he raised himself from the dead, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, but wait a minute. The Bible says the Father, he that raised Jesus, which was the Father from the dead, and then the scripture says it was the power of the Holy Spirit. So
Right. Which
one was it, the Father, Son, or the Holy Ghost?
Oh, Jesus said the Father and I are one and the same. Jesus was begotten, came forth from, but we have three who are one God, the Father, the Son, and
from
the Holy Ghost.
So from Genesis to Revelation, who gives the marching orders?
The Father gives the orders.
Who carries them out every time?
The Lord carries
and
them out.
And who provides the power every time?
Power. Of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, very good.
And it takes all three to accomplish.
Marilyn of Florida pledges 100. Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you. Okay, pick it up in verse 4, Joe.
Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run into thee, under thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Okay, stop right there. What is the last thing we do with every radio program? We do something. We give an invitation, and we say that we have to, what, repent or?
Perish.
And so that's what he's saying here when he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. What he means by that means what? In order to find him, we have to be what? Alive and breathing, don't we?
We have to be, yes. And
so
we see in this crazy world, the people that die from COVID, the heart attacks, gunshots, accidents, car accidents, war, pestilence, a lot of people that are listening right now will not be here tomorrow morning.
Absolutely. And then the next verse, he says, repent. Repent. And so there are those out there in the Word of Faith movement that says repentance is not necessary for salvation. Okay, wait till the Lord Jesus finds that out, huh?
Jesus, the first word he said in his ministry, repent, the very first word. How could anybody think otherwise?
Even before that, he sent John the Baptist out there preaching what?
Repentance. Right, the
right.
Forerunner.
But so what is Isaiah here preaching 800 years before the birth of Christ?
Repentance. There's kind of a theme running through the Bible, right?
Absolutely. Now, this next verse here, listen to this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now listen. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, Joe, the people of Israel had come to the conclusion, they decided that they knew what God was thinking, and that they could conform God's plans in a manner that would fit with their own plans. Okay.
Right.
Now, how do we see that kind of thing happening today?
I guess we see it all the time in this world, that God just loves everybody. God's not going to judge. We just see man always trying to take God and make God fit what he wants God to be so that the man's happy.
Okay, so do men sometimes take the Word of God? Do they take the Word of God and they kind of read things into it that's not there? For example...
Oh, amen, always.
We'll ask Elaine this. We'll see. We'll test her. Elaine, where in the Bible does it talk about denominations?
It doesn't.
Not at all, does it?
No, okay. It doesn't. Man makes the Bible to try and fit into their own narrative.
So we see that the simplicity of... the government of the church. The government of the church is, who's the head of the church?
God.
Christ and Christ alone.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Who's the under-shepherd? The local pastor of the local. And under the local pastor, the elders and deacons. And then the assembly. That is the entire government of the church. That's the government of the church. Right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when you have a denomination? What if you have a synod or, a presbyter? When you add anything between Christ and the local pastor, and that's the local pastor, what are you doing?
You're putting in a level of control and oversight that's not needed.
Okay, so... so whether it's a Vatican, whether it's a Senate, or whether it's a Presbytery, whether it's a convention, All of those added in there. That's not in the Bible. That's
run his own church is what they're saying. Try that.
So that's man's invention, not God's, right?
Correct.
Exactly.
What about the 501c3? Where did that get into the church?
Because the government wanted to dabble into the affairs of the church, because for control reasons, and it worked to it's working to a certain extent.
So under a 501c3. Okay, under a 501c3, then who is the head of the church? First of all, under a 501c3, the church is no longer the church. The church becomes a corporation.
Correct.
Right.
Corpus means non-living creation of the state. The church is the living body of Christ. So can you be the living body of Christ and a non-living creation of the state at the same time?
No.
So under the 501c, it says that the pastor is an agent. And if you look that up in Black's Law, it says that there's two definitions. Primary definition is an intercessor between the state and the congregation. The secondary is a spy for the state against the congregation, okay? And so if you can't be both living and dead. You can't be both a church and a corporation, can you?
No, you can't.
I knew that. Okay, now listen. All of this accepting and twisting and perverting the word of God, and that's what people were doing. So the people of Israel had to make the decision that this is what God meant when he said this or said that. And he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Okay, I'll tell you what I mean. Don't tell me what I mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay? And so we're going to stop right there and pick it up there tomorrow, Joe, because it's some real important stuff coming up right there.
Well, just what you said, just the look how big the universe, when it says the heavens are higher than the earth, look at the universe. We haven't found we're just beginning to see how big the universe is.
Well, we're going to pick it up there tomorrow. But right now, I wanted to say this. I want to dedicate this radio program to these following. This year so far, I have buried these personal friends of mine. And these are all patriots, Christian men. That's just this far. They have died. Ed Corsi, Dan Schaefer, Joe Clark, Denver Sally, Joe Zumo, and just Saturday, I buried Pastor Bruce Pfeiffer, who was a major part of this ministry for years. Pastor Bruce was a man of great stature. Pastor Bruce was, well, if he had been a politician, he would have been a statesman. He always put other people before himself. He loved his family. He loved his children and grandchildren. And in this ministry, he came with me and he said, look, he was the kind of a guy that would take charge. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. And I could do that when I would tell him what we needed. That was all I had to do. He loved the children. He was adamantly pro-life. And for a man who was 78, 79 years old, in the dead of winter, he'd be out there on those streets in that cold, saving babies. And you would see it, too. He was a very big man. And sometimes some of those people, in their shame, would get violent, and they would come running up. And when they got up, all they had to do was watch Bruce with his jaw set, look him in the eye, and they always turned around and went in the other direction. And so I know that your family misses you a tremendous amount, Pastor Bruce. But your friend right here, Pastor Ernie, I miss you a tremendous amount too. So we know it's heaven's gain and our loss. And now we're going to play a clip. Let's just go right to the clip. And folks, you want to play, listen to this clip, because what I just said, all of these men who died this year, listen to what's happening and go to the first clip, though.
Ed Dowd joins us. Ed, before, I know you got some specific things on the vaccines, and I think some charts to put up, but I can't have you on one of the smartest portfolio managers around without asking you. The today you saw it, the 7.9% on the CPI, plus you've got the orgy of spending here, this insane $1.5 trillion. Just give us your overall economic and financial assessment. Where are we right now?
Well, I heard you guys earlier talking with Navarro, and I'm of the opinion we go into a recession in the third quarter. A lot of smart folks I was talking to in the fall of last year were projecting third quarter recession, so I think it's going to come sooner than the end of the year. Bottom line, according to some analysis I've seen, the Fed is trapped. The rate hike cycle is already over before it began. We're at the end of this Ponzi scheme, so to speak. And we're at a very critical point in history where a lot of the inflation over the last 10 years went into assets. And now we're going to see inflation in things we need and deflation in those assets. So it's a 1-2 punch, and that's coming. And we also have what I see is supply shocks that are different from monetary influences. This is the first spike in commodity prices since '83 that we've seen without a corresponding rise in interest rates. So this is supply shock driven. So it's going to be a disaster over the next 12 months, in my humble opinion.
I want to go back to Ed. Ed, and I want to have you back on in more depth on your assessment of the economy and particularly this economic war we're in. But I want to turn to the vaccine as your charts. Walk us through, you've come up with this thing. I want to make sure you get the floor. You got about 6 minutes. Walk us through what you got.
All right, let me set the frame. This is the CDC's own data that they aggregate into all ages. The bottom line is my insurance industry expert, former sell-side Wall Street analyst, went into the CDC data. We were looking for other things, but what we found was pretty shocking. He took the data, and it took some time and effort. He did a lot of work. He broke it down by age, and he created baselines for each age group to come up with excess mortality. And the money chart is really chart 4, which shows that the millennial age group, 25 to 44, experienced an 84% increase in excess mortality into the fall. It's the worst ever excess mortality, I think, in the history. Just to give you an idea, when you look at chart 4, you see when mandates and boosters hit, the acceleration into the fall, and then it reaccelerated into the end of the year. The drop off in that data you see there is reporting issues. It takes time for millennial age deaths to be reported because they're usually not hospital deaths. So that data is going to be updated and probably shows a continued disturbing trend. So just to put some numbers on this, in the fall, starting in the summer into the fall with the mandates and the boosters, there were 61,000 excess millennial deaths. Basically, millennials experienced a Vietnam War in the second half of 2021, okay? 58,000 people died in the Vietnam War, U.S. Troops. So this generation just experienced a Vietnam War. And I think this is the smoking gun that the vaccines are causing excess mortality in all age groups. And it's no coincidence that Michelle Walensky refuses to answer Senator Ron Johnson's letters. They're hiding. Fauci's gone. She's gone. They're hiding. So I'm going to put a word out there. And it's a word that's old, but it needs to be reintroduced in the conversation. This is what we call democide, death by government. So the government, through the mandates, has killed people.
Okay. You know what I need to do, and Ed, I know you're in a different, slightly different time zone. We're here in the Imperial Capital, but I've got to set up and hopefully have you back on the evening show because this is so explosive. The one question I've got, because you're a Wall Street guy, not just that, at the top of Wall Street, this data is out there. Why did it take you and your research partners, analysts, why haven't other people done this? Why is the first time we're hearing this is from you? Because if you're correct, This is so explosive, particularly saying millennials. Millennials have had a Vietnam War event, right, in 2021. Why did it take you to do it? Why has no one else? Because the CDC, I know this information just recently out, but why has no one else done it?
Well, you know, that's so interesting because I was talking to my partner and he just didn't understand why no one else has done this yet. We suspect insurance companies may be doing this and are trying to figure it out and are looking at each other square-eyed. But that was an interesting question. We're not, we want other people to literally recreate the data here. And we're also watching the CDC website to see if they hide this data, because it took him a while to do this. It wasn't easy, but you know, he has actuarial training and he was able to create the baselines. So it takes some skill and some work to do it.
And you're prepared. I want to make sure you know, because you know, all the left watches, you're prepared. You, Ed, your actuarial analyst partner, prepared to put it all out, and you'll take a murder board, right? You would sit there and have people try to tear this apart and tear your theory of the case apart.
Yes. And just so you know, my partner is going to become public soon, but under his own way of doing it. I mean, I'm not controlling anybody here. He's going to be going public to a certain audience that has financial interests here. And eventually he knows that'll go public. So stay tuned. In addition, I had a senior actuarial risk accountant, a risk officer from a major insurance company reach out to me yesterday, wants to compare notes. So this is beginning, Steve. People are looking here.
This can't get any bigger. Just one question before I let you go. And we're going to social media. My team's going to work with getting you back on this afternoon because this is so big. Does the liability protection that was given when they started this warp speed, would that protect the big farmer in this situation as you see it, sir?
No, because I've done a lot of work into the clinical data with Brooke Jackson, the prima facie evidence that the FDA wanted to hide the data for 75 years points to clinical fraud. There's also problems with the manufacturing process. It's all coming out. This is the most ridiculous disaster in the history of the nation I've ever seen, with government cover-up.
Democide. Ed, real quickly, social media, how do people follow you, your Substack, all of it?
Alrighty, now, Elaine, why was it that Mr. Dowd, when he asked Mr. Dowd, why is it you're the first one talking about this? What's wrong with that?
Well, there's a major problem because we were talking about this last year.
Yeah.
And even at the tail end of 2020, the things were not right with the statistics and the deaths.
Well, Joe, were we not talking about this on nationwide radio?
Quite a while ago, I remember talking about how some insurance companies were having trouble with their actuarial tables.
They said the death rate was raised 40%, and we know that in what they call the Gen X generation, ages 41 to 56, what they were calling, since August of last year, there was 101,000 deaths, and that was like what? Like 61,000 more than normal, okay?
Right.
Okay, now what?
More than normal.
But Joe, you would be called a baby boomer, Joe. Okay?
Oh, I would, huh?
In fact, yeah, sometimes I just
wouldn't
thought I'd
you
call.
Would you be right in that same category?
Okay, so anyhow, yeah, you're a boomer. I see another one near the room here. Right now, Jimmy the Greek's running around in there. He's by himself. He's on that board. No telling what he'll do. No telling what he'll do. He's by the switches. Oh, boy. Anyhow, so there's a 306,000 baby boomers. Listen to this. 306,000 baby boomers. Do you know?
That's excess deaths, not just deaths. That's excess above the normal.
That's, can you believe
correct.
This?
Correct. And then the other piece to that was when they started talking about administering these shots to younger and younger children, and the statistics that were coming out that there was an over 5,000% increase in their projected deaths from these shots.
Now, you see, this is what I call, well, you know, they call it, what's the name, murder by government?
Genocide.
Genesis, yeah, it's called genocide.
It's the second Holocaust.
So, now, remember what we've been telling you for the last couple of weeks, that we think Mr. Fauci, we haven't been able to prove it, but we think he's in a witness protection program. Now, there's a lot of people out to kill him. Now, they only put you in a witness protection program if they expect you to turn over on somebody else, huh?
Correct.
Exactly. And he's got a lot of things he can turn over. But I remember it was German doctors. And it was a German insurance company, the BKK, one of the largest and oldest health insurances, Germany, sounding an alarm on the underreporting of vaccine injury and death. And they have like almost 11 million policyholders, and they've been looking at their figures, and they go that there's significant underreporting of deaths and side effects of the vaccine. And they said they've already seen over there, this is just this one company, 216,700 cases of vaccine side effects. And that's just in one insurance company in one country. And they were starting. So we've let out some stuff like this from other companies before. And the big news of the day is right now the government of Thailand came out, and we find they have just paid out more than $45 million in compensation to who? People who developed illnesses and injuries after receiving the poison poke after the vax.
And what's really important here is the fact that there's fraud involved and there's deliberate withholding of information and manipulation of data by the FDA and also the CDC that legally negates any liability across the board as far as who's touching these shots as they go to the public.
Absolutely. Now here, Teresa from Dallas, Texas pledges 100. Thank you, Teresa. I've got to give those numbers out because the phone lines have fallen silent. So, 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. Folks, when you call in, try not to stay on the phone any longer than about 2 or 3 minutes because we got, you know, when the phone's ringing, we got to grab them right then because, you know, we have to, right? All right, now, Elaine, tell us this. That and more than one of these doctors, these very well-known doctors, these virologists have been making statements that, I mean, a number of them said that you've got people in 3 to 5 years are going to stop dropping like flies. But go ahead and tell us what you know.
Well, basically, Dr. Zelenko was on the X-22 report on Saturday, and he specifically said that 20 to 50% of people who receive the shots with their boosters will be dead in 3 years. And that's because of the mechanisms that are in place. It reduces your immune system by 30 to 40% with each injection. And then from there, as you're exposed to other viruses and the common cold, et cetera, your body keeps on attacking itself. If you have pre-existing medical conditions, those accelerate and they can no longer be managed correctly.
Okay, now, we've had a number of people tell me that they took the first shot before they realized what they were doing, and they got so sick, they got so deathly ill, that they never took another one, okay? I just talked to a dear friend today who's ended up in divorce proceedings because his wife, after he told her, do not take the shot, but her children, the grown children, said, in order for you to come and see your grandchildren, you're going to have to take the vax. So took the first, and then after he talked to her and explained to her and everything, she agreed. Not that was it. She wouldn't take the, but she just admitted to him that she had gone and she had taken the booster. And so This caused such a disruption of trust in the family. And we've seen family after family being broken up because of these vaxes.
Correct.
You've got these, and it seems like the millennial generation or whatever you call them, MX or whatever, it seems like they're missing something, that they just don't listen. They're so indoctrinated in the world, and these are the people that were sent to public schools, public colleges, and become so indoctrinated in cultural Marxism instead of listening to their parents.
Yeah, there was something. I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about the fact that there had been some kind of a survey by one of the universities, and that 30% of the millennials in general are atheists, that they've lost their connection to God.
And that's exactly what we, Joe, did we not tell people 50 years ago, if you send your children to the public schools, they will turn them into atheists. They will take the...
Exactly. I wrote a college course on it and everything else. And it was like the education system going all the way back, early Sparta, the first education in the world was to what? Teach the children to obey the government, take them away from their parents, train them to be obedient to the state. It's been the history of education throughout the world.
According to Dr. Zelenko, he said if you, for whatever reason, you've taken any of these shots, that you need to take full responsibility for doing it, because nobody forced you to do it. You were coerced, and basically you buckled underneath it, and then you need to turn to God. But in relation to remedies, all right, that he recommended, he said the major problem is blood clotting. So you can look to the NAC, the N-acetylcysteine. You can look at baby aspirin. Some people are on Coumadin, Eliquis. But he said he predicts that in 2 to 3 years that there'll be further immunotherapy that's developed, that's being worked on right now. He talked about the benefit of zinc. Everybody needs to be on zinc. It reduces any further development of viruses, exposure, and it can decrease that antibody-dependent enhancement that goes on. Green tea extract with ECGC, the quercetin, the vitamin C, vitamin D3. Now, is that going to remove 100% of what you got? We don't really know exactly what you got. You need to look at your vaccination card. There's lot numbers, and, of course, you have the manufacturer there. You can go to a website called howbadismybatch.com, and you can look up the exact injection that you received, because they were all different. And it's rated as to it's mild, severe, or serious.
All right. Now, let me ask you about this then, too, because we've been telling people, you know, that, you know, people are shedding. Mm-hmm. And said that, you know, the unvaxxed can pick this stuff up for those that are shedding.
Yeah, so it's now that shedding occurs with a virus, and basically what you're being transmitted to, all right, from something. That's a lot of Dr. Tenpenny and some of the doctors are talking about shedding versus the transmission. But from everything that I'm seeing, I think eventually everybody in the world is going to be a COVID long hauler, meaning you're going to have fatigue. You're going to have battles, you know, with lung health, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I believe that you have to manage your signs and symptoms, and there's things you can do to mediate the signs and symptoms that you have.
All right. So now I understand that this, if you, one of those things is to get in a bathtub, take a cup of borax, take a cup of baking soda, take a cup of the clay. What is that called?
It's earth.
Yeah.
Diatomaceous earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then one cup of, what's the stuff you use when you get bones are achy? Epsom salts. Now, I understand this, and I've gotten this from several different people. And the last one from that, Dr. Madji?
Madde.
Mm-hmm. Now, and they said if you put a cup of each of that, one cup in a bathtub, and you get in there and you rub it all over yourself for about a half hour, and you have to stay in there as hot as the water you can get. Now, what they're saying is that will pull out a lot of those particles, those nano chips, those spike proteins, that will pull that out of you. Okay. So do you recommend doing that?
I think there's an easier way to do it.
How's that?
All right. Bottom line is, I don't sit in a chlorinated bathtub. All right, because of the chlorine and all of the other stuff that's in there. So I believe that you can cleanse your body in other ways that are easier to handle. I've had individuals call me and said they ended up with this big mess in their bathtub, all right, and it took them almost a whole day to clean it up, and they're not really sure how much was really cleansed out of their system. And so from my perspective, you need to be staying hydrated. You need to be on herbals and supplements to help clean out your liver, but you're better off, you know, cleansing in a different way. From my perspective, the detox foot baths, that's the whole principle of doing the whole body. All right. You can also do it, you know, with different oatmeal baths and that type of thing too. So if you want to do that, that's fine. But I think there's other ways that are easier to accomplish.
All right, very, very good. Now,
Elaine?
Yes.
What's chlorine in the water?
That's city water where he lives.
Where I live, we don't know what that is.
Right. In fact, you don't even have that bathtub. You go out and get in that horse trough.
Well, you've got a well, and your well has herbicides and pesticides in it.
Not my well. Okay. We got wells. We keep it out of there. We don't let it get in there.
It's in all the water tables in the U.S.
I got it. My well's very deep.
Mine was 260 feet.
And you had herbicides in there?
Roundup in the Dyna County in the 60s and 70s was allowed to be put on the fields.
That's
okay.
And if they did that in Medina County, in Ohio, they did it across the entire country, and they're still using Roundup.
But they don't know what that is in Missouri.
Well,
sure don't use it here.
Yeah. It's on the shelves here.
When out there where Joe's at, when they round up, that means they have a cattle drive.
That's good.
Yeah. All right.
We just cut the grass and let it fall and put the biomass back in the land.
All right. Very good. Very good. All right. Well, we're coming up to a break. Oh, boy. Let me see. We have Leslie from Wisconsin pledges 50. Thank you, Leslie. Mac from Retinol. Retinol pledges 55. Thank you, Mac. Folks, you got to keep calling, 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. We got to hear from you now. And don't forget, too, folks, you need to get the newsletter. It's free. We get more people, such a response from people over that newsletter. And what you do to get the newsletter, you got to write us. The best way to get it is to write us. This way we have a very clear, and leave us a very, very clear address, return address, okay? And that's WRWL 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. WRWL 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, and that's 44065. We're coming up to a hard break, and when we come back, we got a whole lot of stuff to cover tonight. So we will be back right after this with a whole lot more. So don't go away. We'll be back, right? Yeah, we will be right back.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.